getting a bit chilly out here now, isn't it? Come and sit closer to the fire, my friends. Warm those hands and faces and bundle up with this here wool blanket. It's a Hoggart Farm original, I'm told. Now, scoot yourselves in tighter. Make sure there's no room for that old wind to settle himself in. Oh. Oh, my. Do you smell that? Smells like someone out there is cooking some very fine barbecue. You know, when I was growing up, barbecue was the king of foods in my little corner of the world. You see, I grew up in a place called the Honey Smoke Mountains. It's a stretch of mountains near the sea, but it's heavily wooded. And there in the Honey Smokes, there are about, I'd say, about a dozen or so towns and seven different little regions. And each of those little regions have their own style of barbecue. Like some of that barbecue is sweet and others tangy. Others like that strong vinegar taste. And some are a mix of one and some of the other. Why are there so many, you ask? Well, that is an interesting story. You see, once upon a time, in the days and years that followed the stars falling, there was a family, a common enough family as it was, a sturdy woman, an innkeeper by trade, by the name of Marisha, and her wife, Ashley, and their seven daughters. They had lost everything when the stars fell, except for each other. And with no home to speak of and no prospects to keep them afloat, except for their own ingenuity and determination, the two mothers of the family felt their only recourse was to head inland. And so they did. The whole family, from the oldest daughter in the early years of adulthood to the youngest, who was no older than she was tall. They sold all the rest they owned and headed into the mountains. And after days and days of long travel, they found a quiet little valley surrounded by the woods, as pretty as a picture. And with hard work and love for each other, they carved for themselves a little homestead, and with that, a quiet little life. And all was good and kind and fine, until one day, the youngest daughter, now a little older than she was tall, but not by much, wandered herself into the woods and got lost. Now the family looked all day and all night through the valley, but never going too far into the dense and dark wood. And after all that searching, they returned tired and worn to their home. And as they entered, what should they find but sitting by the fireside was their lost little girl, wrapped in a fine blanket of soft and downy moss, fast asleep. But she was not alone. In the chair by the fire, there sat a woman, tall and green and glorious. She turned as the family entered and in a smooth and primal voice said, "You have lost something, and I have brought it back to you." "We are grateful, Mother," the family replied. "But your gratitude is not what I wish," the forest queen said. "And what do you wish?" asked Marisha, as she ushered the other children back out the house. "You have made a pretty home here in my valley, near my woods," the queen said as she stood, her leafy hair scraping the rafters. "I have watched you, helped you even, but it is as I feared. Leave you alone, and eventually you'll stray where you are not wanted. 9 humans is far too many to leave unattended." "Then what would you want of us?" Ashley said, standing bravely next to Marisha. And the forest queen smiled at the two and picked up the youngest daughter, and for a breathless moment the two mothers thought that the queen might steal her away. But before the gasp had even caught in their throats, the queen passed the child to the mothers and moved to the wooden door, which swung open of its own accord, and she walked out into the chilly night to speak to the rest of the family. "I believe 7 is a good number," she said. "In a day and a night, I will return and take 2 of you away to be my guests. For, let us say, oh, forever." "And which 2? The oldest daughter said, defiant and strong. She was a fiery one, with a mind full of old battles and a soul like molten iron. Oh, she was itching for a fight, even if it meant taking on the great green mother herself. But the forest queen waved her hand dismissively and said, "Oh, I truly do not care. Let it be your choice." And the forest queen turned her back to them. But before she could return to her realm, one of the middle daughters, a clever girl, raised her voice saying, "But great mother, That just won't do. The forest queen stopped, turning back to the family huddled together in front of the little house with a dark look on her face for being so contradicted. But before the queen could speak, the clever daughter raised her voice a second time, saying, "You do not deserve just any of us. A woman of your surpassing strength and wonder must have the best of us." "And which two of you are the best?" the queen replied, annoyance blossoming in her voice. And the seven daughters, guessing their clever sister's ruse, all raised their voices as one, that they were the best and must be taken. "Very well, then," the forest queen cried, when the noise grew too loud. "In a day and a night I will return, and we will have a contest, and you will prove to me which of you are the best. I will judge, and I will choose, and then the two I choose will come away with me forever. And you must each promise me that in this contest you will do no worse than your best. Do you accept these terms?" And the family sat for a moment in silence, looking at each other. But Marisha and Ashley nodded, and the girls all raised their voices one last time to say, "We accept." The Forest Queen nodded her agreement, and like that, she was gone. The family wasted no time concocting their plan, and that very night they decided that it was only fair that they have a cook-off amongst the seven daughters, each a fantastic cook, having learned from their mothers. It was an excellent plan, or so they all thought, but no sooner had they agreed to cook than they could not decide on what to cook. Some said savory pies, another said soups and stews, another said breakfast foods, and another said desserts, until finally the two mothers had had enough. "We will do this simply. Each of you will cook a side of boar." And to that, the daughters all agreed. And for a day and a night, the seven daughters scoured the valley for ingredients to make the most succulent boar ribs that had ever been made. And before they knew it, the time had come. And the forest queen stepped from her wood and into the homestead. And what do you think she found there but a table fit for a royal like herself, with a woven blanket for a tablecloth and homespun for napkins, and the finest silverware that Marisha had saved from the inn. And all around the house were cook fires where the seven daughters worked frantically. And from those cook fires raised the most sweet-smelling smoke that made the forest queen's tummy grumble with impatience. And no sooner had the queen sat down to her fine homespun table, but she was accosted with boar meat done seven entirely different ways. One was smoked, the other braised, one soaked in honey and another brined. And the spices, the spices those girls used. Seven sides of boar and not one tasted or smelled the same. And wouldn't you know it, but the other daughters were as good as their word, and their best meant more than just a side of boar, but small platters of other foods, roasted potatoes, and salads and cobblers and noodles with cheese, all done in their own style and taste. And oh, by the mountains themselves, it was delicious. And the forest queen ate and ate and ate and called on her woodland subject to come and taste as well. And from the woods came bears and deer and wolves and foxes and mice and rabbits. All came and all feasted. And the jackrabbit played the fiddle, and the otter played the bass, and the fox played the pipe. And all the while the deer sang, and it was a merry, jolly time. But all things come to an end, my friend. And after the forest queen had had her taste of all the daughters' meals, she cried with a single voice that she had made her decision. And after a long pause, she proclaimed the luminous truth that she just couldn't decide, that they had all been the best, and that the only fair thing would be to do the competition all over again. "But not today," the forest queen mused, a sleepiness coming over her. She waved her hand to the family dismissively. "Let us say we come back to this place in a year and a day and try this again. You will cook for me, and I will judge the best too." And the family solemnly nodded their agreement. The forest queen waved her hand, turning the table into a palanquin that the bears lifted and carried her away on. But no sooner had she left, but the seven daughters all vowed that next year they'd work even harder and be the best so that their sisters would never have to be taken away. And for a year and a day, they honed their cooking skills to razor-sharp perfection, and once again presented their dishes to the forest queen outside that little homestead. And once again, The food was so good and the company so sweet that the animals all came to dance and play and sing, and the celebration was so perfect. So perfect, the forest queen again could not choose and said that they must again meet a year and a day from now and try all over again. So they did. Year after year after year after year. Now, eventually, those daughters grew and traveled all about the mountains looking for ingredients and honing their techniques of what they called barbecue. And they met others who lived in the mountains, and those seven daughters each had families of their own. But each year, and a day later, the forest queen would come to the old homestead and sample their cooking and bring her animal subjects, and they'd all celebrate. And each time, she never chose a victor. And so the contest still stands to this very day. Although the forest queen doesn't show up as often now as she used to. And the mountains where all this happened, they named the Honey Smoke, for the sweet and delicious smoke that comes from it. And those seven daughters each found a different style of barbecue. And there were seven regions in the Honey Smokes, each laying claim to a style. What style did I grow up with, you ask? Well, let me see if I can remember. It was sweet, lots of brown sugar and honey, slow smoked over a low heat. Just like that delightful smell we caught earlier. You know what? I think that might be coming from the house. Let's say we all go and take a look, shall we? I bet you we'll find a few couriers and enough food to go around. Come on, let's go and see.